As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader and your host, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here today with you on this Saturday afternoon. I hope you guys are doing well, and man, oh man, it's a little bit warm, isn't it? I'm definitely ready for rain, my friends. We all know it's been a dry summer, a dry spring. We know we're in drought conditions, and it's just been hot, and gosh, I just really, really look forward to rain. I normally don't say that. I normally enjoy the warmer, drier summer. I don't look forward to the rainy season, but Lord knows we need it, and I'm just looking forward to it. Doesn't seem like any amount of water I'm using to water my yard is really working very well. It's just so dry and so hot. And then this constant wind up at my place, I think it's just drying out the grass so fast. And I'm watering as much as I normally would in any typical year, but it's just not doing the trick. So it's just getting real frustrating. And I don't want to just waste water. We got to think about those things now. We got to conserve where we can and decide what our priorities are and what's the most important thing for us to be doing with that water. And maybe that means that some of us don't have as green as of a yard as we normally would. And I know that doesn't look as nice, but that's just kind of where we're at. In my community, out in the Dallas area, we're definitely talking about water conservation, and the community has been put on alert. There's not been any restrictions, so to say, yet from our government, but it definitely has been asking people to self-regulate and look into things to reduce water and maybe not water the lawn so much, shut the water off when you're brushing your teeth, things like that. The reservoir we have, Mercer Reservoir, that feeds into Dallas, it just, over the years, over the last 50 years, it's lost a lot of its capacity. There's just been so much stuff that has started to fill in that reservoir, and a lot of silt from a fire that we had years and years ago. And we probably only holding 40% the capacity that we should be. And the funny thing is, it's a man-made reservoir. It's a man-made dam up there. And it should be enough. It was enough to start with. Our city leaders back in the 50s had some foresight, and they did a lot to prepare us and put us in a good position for water. But over the years, with more government regulations from the state and from the federal government, we haven't been able to manage our own water reservoir and maintain it the way we should. And the state, the Army Corps of Engineers, they won't let us go in and do what we need to do to maintain it and ensure that the community has adequate water supply. They won't let us dredge this man-made reservoir, and we had a massive fire back in the 80s. It was called the Rock House Canyon Fire, and it was humongous, and it threatened the whole entire community. Well, after that burn off, obviously you have a lot of erosion and a lot of silt, and that reservoir on that bottom side has just been filling in over the years. And like I said, we're down to about 40% its original capacity. And this time of the year, you can drive all the way out there. You can get dump trucks out there. You can get track hose out there. You can get big, heavy equipment out there. And you could scoop out the majority of that silt that has filled in over the last 30 years very easily without disturbing much of anything. But the Army Corps of Engineers won't let us do it. They say that it's going to disrupt the natural habitat and disrupt fish habitat possibly. And we could only move so many cubic yards of that per year, and it's very few cubic yards per year, or they're afraid that it would disrupt the turbidity of the reservoir. And so it's just, to me, it's just kind of ironic because it was a man-made reservoir to begin with. And I'm just thinking, what did the fish do before we men got involved and dug that reservoir out and put the dam up? And now, you know, it's obviously, like any water source, the lifeblood of the community. And the government and regulations and ridiculous environmentalists and activists are telling us that, you know, basically they would rather see our community die and not have water. Worse yet, our farms die, farms that grow crops that feed our animals, that feed us, farms that rely on the water that comes down the Rickerell to irrigate for food for their dairy cattle. They're being cut off. The water master's going up and down the river saying, nope, you have water rights from the 60s, but we're going to have to shut you off. You can't pump any more water out. And so these farms are in jeopardy and in dire need of water, and their animals are in need, their crops are in need. And of course, a community, Dallas, you know, we're pushing 18,000 people in Dallas, and the community's growing. It's become a big bedroom community for Portland and Salem, and housing development has been crazy there. We could have enough water. We shouldn't have to be worried about the water, but ridiculous regulations. And this is just, I'm kind of just going off on a rant because this is just one more example, my friends, of government overreach and how they get involved in things that probably are better left up to the local authorities, and they make decisions without understanding the true impact and how it's going to affect the entirety of the community. And then they prioritize things in the wrong order, in my opinion. I think people, the health and prosperity of humans should always be priority number one. And obviously, you know, what kills communities? Well, I'll tell you what kills communities: not having water. If you don't believe me, go down to Klamath Falls right now. Go look at what's happening in southern Oregon and tell me that not having water isn't having drastic impacts on those communities, and people are having to pack up their homes and leave. Their wells have dried up. They have access to water from reservoirs and lakes and other aquifers, and because of government and ridiculous regulations, they're not able to use it. They're not able to water their crops. Their farmlands are turning into dust bowls. And I'm thinking, they're prioritizing things over human life, and they're telling people that they can't use water that's sitting there because it might disrupt, you know, something that's not human. And instead, they're letting the humans suffer and letting these towns just die. It doesn't make sense to me. It's obviously, my friends, we need to have a happy medium, right? I've said many times that we need to be good stewards of our land, of our environment. We need to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to have good environmental practices that are sustainable, that are going to guarantee that things flourish long term for generations after generations. We need to think about what kind of pollutants we put in the air. We need to think about what kind of trash we put in the ground. We need to think about what we're dumping into our rivers and lakes and streams and how much water we are using. Yes, we need to think about all of that stuff because we do have a small impact. But I don't believe that man has the impact that the left and the media would like you to believe we do. And I think that prioritizing other things over the health and well-being of people, of human beings, is absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, let's do our part and let's take care of our environment. Let's make sure that our world stays healthy and happy, but we can't stop living, and we can't kill ourselves off. We can't kill our towns because we're afraid that we're going to affect the fish habitat in an area that never had fish to begin with, that was man-made. It's ridiculous. So again, go down to Southern Oregon, pay attention to what's going on down there if you want to get a good idea of government overreach and how it's killing communities. And now over here in the drought conditions we've had this last couple of years, we've got a lot of our local communities right here in the valley that are starting to see the effects of this. And if things don't change, meaning, if the climate doesn't change and if Oregon doesn't start slipping back to what we know Oregon as, wet and a lot of rain and cooler, you know, climates in the spring and fall and winter months, things are only going to continue to get worse. And so we need to make sure we have governments that understand that and governments that are going to make the right decision to protect our communities. I think climate change, yes, I do believe climate change is a real thing. I think it's a natural occurrence. I think it happens. It's a cycle. We can look back in time and see that cycle. We can see how it cycled long before men were able to impact it the way we can impact it today. And I do think that Oregon, my friends, is warming up. I believe that we're starting to look more and more, you know, kind of like California. And if you look back in history, California used to be cooler as well. So this is a natural cycle. I think Oregon's warming up. I can't tell you for sure. We could have a crazy wet winter again and cool off again. That's absolutely possible. But I'm not counting on it. I think we're kind of seeing what's going to be happening. This might kind of be the new norm for a while, and we might continue to warm up. So we got to make sure that when we do get the rain, we're able to save it. We're able to save as much as we can. And that means that if we got reservoirs out there, we need to be able to manage and maintain them without government interference. And we need to be able to dredge them and make them as deep as possible so we can save as much water as possible so we can save our communities. So, sorry, that was a funny thing is I actually had no plan on talking about that today. This is all a side rant. I've pretty much blown my first entire segment on it. But it's important. Water is our lifeblood, right? Without water, we have nothing. So it's something we need to be thinking about. If you live in a community and your elected officials aren't putting a game plan together, if they're not thinking about it, if they've not done anything for long-term planning, if they're just doing more of the same and not recognizing that we could have issues, you need new elected officials. You need people that are going to dive into this and start looking for solutions and thinking long-term and planning ahead. If you don't have any issues, that's awesome, but you got to plan for tomorrow, right? So it is important. We got to protect our water here. We got to protect our communities here. Without that, my friends, without that, our industry will disappear. Industry needs water as well. Our industry will disappear. Our tax base will disappear. So that means the money that we have for our communities, for our streets, for our public safety, police and fire, for our schools will dry up very, very quickly. And we've seen that in other areas. So something to think about. Sorry for this rant, but that's the way it is. It's definitely getting warmer here. And I don't think this climate change is going anywhere too soon. I think we're seeing what we're going to see, and we should expect drier winters and hotter summers. It's just the way it is. It was a hot one today. I will tell you, I was out in the sun all day long, but my God, I had a blast. I was at the air show in McMinnville, and so much fun. I'm an airplane junkie, my friends. I have my private pilot license. I got it many, many years ago. I don't get to fly nearly like I would like to. I just time, and you know, I always had a dream that I would own my own airplane, and I'm about 10 years behind schedule on that. So I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I did used to enjoy flying quite a bit back in the day, and I hope to be able to get back into that in the future. But I still love going to the airports and going to these air shows and looking at these amazing machines, old all the way to new, and just a display of the ingenuity of Americans and other countries across the globe, and just the power of the United States. Stick with me, my friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host with the most, your fearless leader, Mikki Garris, and thanks for joining me here today on Saturday. I just started to tell you guys that I was baking in the sun all day long. I went to the air show in McMinnville, and what a blast it is. I went there a couple years ago, and I took my son Noah, and this time around, my wife got to join us, and one of Noah's buddies got to join us. And it's just always so impressive. It's amazing to watch, to witness the skill of these pilots. I mean, they are daredevils. But it's more than that. They're obviously willing to take some risk, but they're good. They are skilled. And the amount of practice that goes into being able to fly these machines the way they do, and do the maneuvers that they do under the immense pressure that they're under, the reflexes that they have to maneuver these things in the speed that they have to maneuver them, the G-forces that are putting so much pressure on their body. It is so physical. It is so mental. And these pilots put so much into it to be able to fly like that and give us a show that is so entertaining. And I don't care if it's the old planes all the way up to the new planes. It's all enjoyable. They all have a special place in history, right? I mean, airplanes were designed for a purpose. And from the very first flight that the Wright brothers did all the way to the newest aircraft that they're designing today, it's kind of funny how you can look in time and see that specific plane's mark in history. And it's also kind of amazing, you know, when you think of the time frame, things happen so quick, right? And in the last 50 years, look at what's happened in the world of aviation. To now, we're seeing Elon Musk, you know, weekly put spaceships up into space, and they got the goal of going to Mars, and all the research that's being done and the technology that's being done, and it all stemmed from early aviation, and you know, the groundbreaking work that the Wright brothers did and Howard Hughes did and all these famous aviators along the way. And look at what it did for our military and for our national security. Look at how it turned the table in some of these wars, modern wars that we have fought, that we couldn't have done it without our aircraft, our Navy aircraft and our Air Force and our Army. Look at what it did for us. And so when I see these planes flying, that's what I see. I see American exceptionalism, and it gives me a sense of pride, and it's just kind of ah. And you know, my son's friend that was there, he looked at me and he said, "This is why we're the best. This is why you don't mess with us." You know, he saw that F-22 Raptor go flying down the runway, you know, 20 feet off the ground. And he looked at me and he said, this is America. And I'm thinking, man, you nailed it. It is, you know, that is what other countries aspire to be. And nobody is us. Nobody can do what we do. Nobody has done the things that we have done. That's still true today. And so there's been so much negative that has happened this last year, this last 8 months. You know, we've all been walking around with hoods over our face and just kind of depressed and just, you know, what the heck happened? What happened in our election? What's happened this last year and a half because of COVID and these lockdowns and our businesses being hurt? And what the hell is Biden talking about? Can we believe he's our president? No, we can't. Kate Brown, what the hell are you doing? You dictator. Why are you destroying Oregon and Oregon business? And it's so negative all the time. And we talk to our friends and we travel in these circles. And these are the things that we talk about. And it's so easy to focus on that negativity. And I do it all the time. And it's something that we have to talk about. Yes, we've got trouble in this country right now. We've got trouble here. But sometimes you got to forget about that. And sometimes you got to look, you know, at the greatness that still exists. And you got to go to an air show and you got to watch these amazing, amazing machines fly down the runway and do their stunts and their acrobatics and hover and go straight up and fall backwards and do what they do and understand that, wow, that F-22 is the number one plane in the world for air-to-air combat right now. That is why other countries don't want to mess with us. That is why they're terrified of the United States military. That's us. That plane right there represents America. And that's impressive. The last flight of the show, they actually had a Mustang, a P-51 Mustang flying, and then they had the F-22 Raptor come out, and they did some different flights together down the runway and just side by side, and it was just brilliant. It just showed an air from the beginning to where we're at now of American exceptionalism. And it helps you remember what it is to be a patriot and why we get excited about this country and why we love this country. And then you get to reflect on why it's so important that we hold on to this, why it's so important that American exceptionalism, that type of ingenuity that got us here today, that made us number one, that dream and the values that wanted to instill freedom across the globe, that has protected and defended the weak, that has given everybody liberty, that has policed the world because nobody else could. That is important, my friends, and that is something that we need to fight for and be willing to protect. And so when we see what's happening in this country and we see what the Democrats want to usher in, this globalist viewpoint, you should understand why it's so important that we fight against this. We can't be Marxist here. We can't be ruled under this totalitarian regime, this dictatorship. We can't be communist. We can't be socialist. You know why? Because we are Americans and we are capitalist and we are in a republic. And that trumps everything. No pun intended, but that trumps everything. It's so important because if we lose that, my friends, it's just not this continent. It's just not North America that's affected. Think of the impact we have across the globe. Don't turn that down, my friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris. And the big question is, what have we become, right? What's happened this last year and a half under COVID, and what have we allowed to happen? I look around and I think to myself, man, are we a nation of people that is so self-absorbed right now that we're content to hate each other until this republic's very extinction? That's what it feels like. There's no nationalism. There's no common ground for any cause. It's like we don't have any pride, no patriotism, no sense of self-preservation. We are a people divided right now. We know what God said about that. We know what God said about that. We know what our founding fathers said about that. And it's because we've been manipulated, we're controlled, and we're sacrificed by oligarchs that we'll never even know. And we're living in this oligarchy that does not value our lives or our well-beings. We need to wake up, my friends. We are so easily distracted by trivial things, things that don't matter. It's like we've lost our very soul and we've forgotten our own self-worth. Why are we so eager to fight each other instead of casting our sights on those responsible for our despair? It's like in a panicked frenzy, we cast stones at one another like striking your neighbor down is going to solve the world problems. That doesn't make sense. You know that's not going to solve the world's problems. And meanwhile, the real perpetrators, the corrupt politicians, they become more wealthy and more powerful. And they're unchecked. They're the puppet masters. And instead of us controlling our own destiny, we're fighting over the scraps that they throw us. And we're constantly in fear of what they might take. Does that sound like America? Does that sound like the American exceptionalism that I just described, talking about the air show and those planes and the powerful military? Because we once were called the land of the free and the home of the brave, but neither of that is true anymore. Obviously, there's patriots. Obviously, there's still soldiers. There's good people that love this country. But my friend, society as a whole, honestly, if in general, we're cowards, right? What are we doing really to fight for this republic? Do we even know what freedom really is anymore? Do we understand what liberty means? What about free will? We have willingly given up so much for just a little bit of security that we're losing our own individuality and we're conforming to the will of a sovereign government serving a world order instead of we the people. We settle now for being told how to live. We settle for being told how to breathe. How to breathe. Where we can breathe. Where we can go. Who we can be with. We believe it's for the good of society because we're told it's for the good of society. Despite all the evidence to the contrary and what we instinctively know in our hearts to be true. And we do this without questioning anything or holding anyone accountable for their crimes. At the behest of those who are the guiltiest among us. The people that have caused all this trouble. Like lambs led to the slaughter, we conform to this as our new normal. And we're told we should be grateful. Bow down, kiss the ring. What's sad, we're even thankful about this in this morbid type of a way. Because we're well aware that these oligarchs could make life even worse if they chose to. Here's the reality, though, my friends. Here's the cold, hard truth. Here's the facts of the matter. And more of this is coming out each and every day. Each and every day. It's all there. Do your own research. Don't just take my word for it. But here's the honest to God truth. And this is what you guys need to focus on. This is what you guys should be thinking about. Think about this last year and a half and what's happened with COVID. And ask yourself, why? The U.S. government, agencies in the U.S. government, and officials working in cooperation with China and its military. They turned a virus that was not originally contagious to humans into a biological weapon, and they released it on the world. That is a fact. They tried to cover it up, but the truth came out, and that is a fact. The CDC, Dr. Fauci, they have been in on this. Think about it. A harmless virus that humans could not catch. They turned it into a biological weapon and they released it on the world. And then they tried to cover it up. And they've been lying to us ever since. That's the conversation, my friends. That's the only conversation we should be having. That's the one thing that we all, Republican, Democrat, libertarian, conservative, liberal. I don't care. Americans, that's the one thing we all should be able to unite over. And that should make us furious. What they did to us, what they did to this country, what they did to the world should make us furious. And those people responsible, those are the people we need to be fighting against. Those are the people we need to hold accountable. Not each other. Not whether or not you catch me in Safeway wearing a mask or not. Not whether or not I decide to get vaccinated, get this jab in my arm that I don't even know what's in it. That's not what should upset you. What they did is what we should be mad about. Don't fight each other. Don't waste our energy on each other. When you and me, our neighbors, we're not the enemy. We can disagree on things. We can have different ideology. But that doesn't make me your enemy, and that does definitely not make you my enemy. Here's the deal, my friend. It is time for us. It's time for Americans to get off our asses and start living like Americans. It's time for us to take our freedom back, take our lives back, and bring our enemies, both foreign and domestic, to justice. I'm not, and I repeat, I am not going to continue to live under this tyranny. And I'm not going to sit there and do nothing about it anymore. But my friends, I can't do it alone, and I cannot do it without you. And I don't care what you believe, where your ideology lays. I don't care if you got a D behind your name or an R. Because what I'm talking about is a very American thing. And America, that's all of us. And every one of us should be engaged in this and on the same side. Because what's happened, the attacks that we've had, and the things that have changed our lives this last year and a half are very un-American. And we need to make sure that we hold these people accountable. In our Declaration of Independence, you know that each year on the 4th of July, I read the Declaration of Independence here on this show. It's a document that it's so real well written, and our founders had so much foresight, and it just lays it out. And you can read it today if you don't read the dates, if you don't read that they're addressing King George in England, if you don't pay attention to that and you just read that, you would think that somebody wrote that and was talking about modern day times. Somebody wrote that and is talking about what's happening right here today in the United States. And we're talking about the people, we the people, and our tyrannical government that we have in the United States. But in that document, in the second paragraph, it says, "All experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed." And that's absolutely true. I mean, that's exactly what I believe has happened. We're sitting by and saying, well, I just don't know what we should do. It could be worse, I guess. So we're just going to keep living with this. And we're just going to let them take a little bit more each day. A little bit more each day, and I can suffer. That's okay. It's not too bad yet. And before you know it, it's too late, my friends. In that Declaration of Independence, they told us what we had to do. They told us we have an obligation. They told us it's our very duty. It's time for us to stand up and fight for this republic, my friends. It's time for us to take this nation back. Stick with me, my friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and as I say every week, you know what's coming. Time flies, doesn't it? We're at the end, we're at the last segment, and there's still so much to talk about. So many things happening in this country, so many things happening in Oregon, and there's just not enough time. But I was talking about the state that we're in right now and how we've just kind of let things happen and we've given up so much. We've relinquished our freedom willingly, like lambs to the slaughter. And we've been lied to, and I've explained how we've been lied to by the CDC and Dr. Fauci and the government and China and everything we've been told about the China virus and the vaccine, and the information's coming out. And in fact, I'm even seeing some leftist media organizations that would do anything that they could do typically to cover up the lies of the left and the lies of Dr. Fauci and the lies about COVID and cover up the data. And they're actually starting to report the truth. They're actually starting to tell people that, the data shows now that if you're vaccinated, you're not really any more protected. You're still going to get sick. And that you actually could carry higher levels of the virus in your system, and you're actually responsible for spreading that virus as well. And that vaccination, it could be responsible for the Delta variant that is now spiking the numbers across the country. Leftist medias are now reporting this stuff. A month ago, they would have done whatever they could to cover up that story, but they can't cover it up anymore. It's too big. The truth is starting to come out. And like I've told you, my friends, as frustrated as we've been this last year, as frustrated we've been about COVID or about the elections and how corrupt everything seems, I've always told you guys, eventually the truth will come out. And that's what's happening. And not even the left media can cover it up anymore. The truth is coming out. So it's time for the awakening. It's time for the revival, the great revival. Okay? We need to revive this republic. We need to have a spiritual revival to get this nation back on track. It's funny. Benjamin Franklin said in his final speech at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention, he says this, is likely to be well administered for a course of years. He's talking about our form of government now. Our form of government, this republic that they just put together. This is his prediction. It's likely to be well administered for a course of years and can only end in despotism as other forms have done before it. When the people shall become so corrupted as to need a despotic government, being incapable of any other. Think about how profound that was. It's pretty amazing, really, that he nailed it. And that's exactly what's happened. But it's, and as bleak as it is right now, I don't think it's too late. And like I told you guys last week, you know what? You hear so many people that are just bailing and giving up and fleeing the state. And that is not how we take this back. I had a conversation about what do we need to do to start being successful in our elections here in Oregon? What would we need to do to actually get a Republican governor here in Oregon? And you talk to all these people, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, well, we need to find a moderate. We need to find somebody that's going to appeal to the left. That's the only way we're going to win here in Oregon. And I challenge that. I say no. Haven't we learned anything this last 4 years? Haven't we learned anything from President Trump? You don't inspire, you don't encourage, you don't rally the troops by walking the middle line. You need to be bold, you need to be strong, and you need to stand for the conservative values that is going to get the people excited and say, we're coming back that way. I haven't voted in 10 years, but I'm liking what I'm hearing, and I'm coming back now. You're not trying to go after the Democrats. You know why? Because no matter how much sense it makes, no matter how good it is for this state. Here's the reality about the Democrats. They are not ever going to vote R. I know there's people that say, well, there's a lot of them on the fence and we could attract them over this way and this and that. And you know what? I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. That party is so far gone. I think if the people that possibly were Democrats that honestly can't stomach it anymore, they're not Democrats anymore. They have changed. They have changed. There is an R behind their name now. Now, they're probably not having it put on a flashing marquee somewhere. They're not advertising it. They're terrified of the people they used to run with. They're terrified of cancel culture. They're terrified of the Antifas and the BLMs. But I think the people that we truly could have got, we probably got them. But if somebody's still associating with the Democrat Party and still has that D behind their name, getting a moderate to run on the Republican ticket is not going to sway their vote. It's not. We're fooling ourselves. But you know what it does do? It loses conservative votes. It loses conservative votes. I look at guys like Newt Bueller, you know, and I think I really have a problem voting for a guy like Newt Bueller. Now I can look at the big picture and I can weigh out the pros and cons and I can pinch my nose and turn my face and scribble in the bubble real quick if I have to on some things. Vote for the lesser of two evils, so to speak. I hate saying that. I hate saying that, but we all have done it. But there's people that won't. There's people that they're just off in their own little world and they're not going to vote for a guy like Newt Bueller. I'm just using him as an example because he was the moderate guy a couple years ago, right? But he was a turnoff to a lot of conservatives. A lot of Republicans couldn't do it. So I think we need to shift our mindset. We don't need to continue compromising our values and be more moderate to attract the left. We want to attract the right. And more than that, my friends, don't think about the people that already have a D or a R behind their name. Think about the kids. Think about the kids, the young adults that are just coming into life, that are just able to cast their first ballot. Think about getting them. We need to be the party that they look at us and say, I know what that party stands for. I know what their values mean. I know exactly what they want to do for this country. I know what their platform is. I know what their policies are. I know that they mean lower taxes, more freedom, protection of your rights, protection of babies, innocent lives. That marriage should be between one man and one woman. And we need to be excited about who we are and excited about our values. And we need to share them. And that is how we're going to attract more people. That's how we're going to attract the new voter, by our energy, by being who we really are. True conservatives, Christians, people that are going to stand up for what's right no matter what. That's what this party should represent. And that's how we should act all the time. And if we're muddying the waters, if we're dumbing it down, so to speak, if we're attempting to be more moderate so we attract more liberals, what are we doing to our party? What are we doing to our party? We're saying that our values really were not that important to begin with. It's true, we need to pick and choose what hill we decide to die on. But we need to make sure that we're standing up and sending a message to people that this is who we are. And we're not ashamed of it. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.